general fund budget.
Yeah.
Which makes sense when these other people look at us. They have good 13 spreadsheets.
Are they signed up ahead of time?
Hey, you.
Free music this morning?
Anytime we can.
Would you lead the prayer?
The siren has ended. I guess that means the start of the Sussex County Council meeting for this day. We will start with the Lord's Prayer, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. Father, Lord of heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is kingdom, power, and glory forever. Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
That was in the correspondence, but I don't think it should be.
Approval of the agenda.
They're wanting money.
Approval of the agenda. Mr. Stickles.
There is one deletion. There is one deletion.
Where at? Okay. Anything else? Okay, anything else? If not, gentlemen, entertain a motion.
I make a motion we approve the agenda with the amendment.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Duke, second by Mr. Phillips to approve the agenda for Sussex County Council, June the 20th, 2006, as in printed form of the deletion of 1007, item number 1. Questions, Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Duke?
Yes.
My vote is yes. Approval of minutes, May the 9th. May the 9th. That are in printed form you have before you. Any questions? If not, entertain a motion.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Dukes, second by Mr. Phillips to approve the minutes for May the 9th, 2006 for Sussex County Council as in printed form. Questions, Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
My vote is yes. Approval of minutes for May the 16th, 2006 as in printed form before you. Any questions? If not, entertain a motion.
So moved. Second.
Motion by Mr. Duke, second by Mr. Phillips to approve the minutes for Sussex County Council May the 16th, 2006, as in printed form. Questions? Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
My vote is yes. Minutes for Sussex County Council May the 23rd, 2006, as in printed form. Motion by Mr. Duke, second by Mr. Jones to approve the minutes for May the 23rd, 2006. Questions? Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
My vote is yes. Reading of correspondence, Mr. Griffin.
We only have one item this morning. It's a letter from the Odyssey of the Mind team from Indian Rivers, who were declared state and world champions, thanking council for their generous contribution to helping with the costs of them attending the world's final competition in Ames, Iowa. That's all the correspondence.
Okay, Mr. Stickles, administrator's report.
Gentlemen, just one item. The engineering department granted beneficial acceptance to Sandbar Village at Nassau Bridge, agreement 399 on June 12, 2006. The developers Holiday Park LLC. Projects located on the southbound lane of Route 1 just south of Nassau Bridge in the West Rehoboth expansion of the Dewey Beach Sanitary Sewer District, consisting of 9 townhouses, building, commercial site, and swimming pool. Included with this report is a fact sheet on the project. So I'll have it this time.
Okay. Hal Godwin, administrative assistant. A resolution to support for the establishment of Captain John Smith Chesapeake Natural Historic Trail. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. President, members of council. We have one resolution for your consideration this morning, pledging support for the establishment of the Captain John Smith Chesapeake National Historic Trail, which reads as follows. Whereas the Sussex County Council desires to commemorate the 400th anniversary of the English settlement of America and Captain John Smith's monumental voyages of exploration in the Chesapeake Bay, And whereas the time of Captain Smith's arrival, Sussex County was home to a substantial population of Native Americans whose knowledge and trade goods were essential to the survival of the English colonists. And whereas, due to the leadership of the Chesapeake Bay Congressional Delegation, the U.S. Congress and the President of the United States passed legislation authorizing the National Park Service to study the feasibility of establishing a Captain John Smith Chesapeake National Historic Trail as part of the fiscal year 2006 Interior, Environment, and Related Agencies Appropriations Act. And whereas, due to the leadership of Senators Biden, Carper, Sarbanes, Warner, Mikulski, and Allen, Bill Senate 2568 was introduced in the Senate to establish the Captain John Smith Chesapeake National Historic Trail as a unit of the National Trail System. And whereas, on account of leadership of the Chesapeake Bay Congressional Delegation, a campaign bill S-2568 is to be introduced in the House. And whereas the Captain John Smith Chesapeake National Historic Trail would facilitate public understanding of the significance of the Chesapeake Bay as an ecological and cultural resource. And whereas the Captain John Smith Chesapeake National Historic Trail would provide an excellent educational opportunity to the public while promoting heritage tourism of the Bay region. And whereas the Sussex County Council urges the Congress to pass the legislation in time for the 400th anniversary. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Sussex County Council pledges its support for the establishment of the Captain John Smith Chesapeake National Historic Trail, and be it further resolved that a certified copy of this resolution shall be forwarded to the United States Senator Joseph R. Biden, Jr., United States Senator Thomas R. Carper, United States Congressman Michael N. Castle, Governor of the State of Delaware, Ruth Ann Minner, and the Director of National Park Service. Sir.
So moved, Mr. President.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Jones, second by Mr. Dukes, to adopt the resolution as just read by Mr. Godwin. If you recall, they were here for the presentation a couple weeks ago before you. Questions to Mr. Godwin? If not, Mr. Cole?
Pardon?
Mr. Cole for the vote.
Yes.
Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
The vote is yes. Mr. Godwin?
Yes, sir. Mr. President, members of council, we have one wastewater contract for your consideration this morning. Contract number 81-04, the Tunnel Cancer Center Agreement number 560. The developer in this case is the Tunnel Cancer Center from Lewis, Delaware. Location Route 24, 1 mile west of Route 1 in the West Rehoboth expansion of the Dewey Beach Sanitary Sewer District. The type and size of development is the radiation oncology building with associated site improvements. The connection service charges in this case are $3,716. We already have approvals from our engineering department as well as the state's Department of Natural Resources. The estimated time of construction is 6 days, and the construction administration and construction inspection cost is $2,932, while proposed construction costs will be $19,550. The supporting motion that is proposed before you this morning is worded as this. Be it moved that based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department for Sussex County Project Number 81-04, Agreement Number 560, that the Sussex County Council execute a construction administration and construction inspection agreement between Sussex County Council and Tunnel Cancer Center for wastewater facilities to be constructed in the village at Bear Trap Dunes, located in the West Rehoboth expansion of the Dewey Beach Sanitary Sewer District.
So moved, Mr. President.
Motion by Mr. Jones.
Second.
Second by Mr. Dukes to vote on the wastewater agreement, Tunnel Cancer Center. Questions? Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
The vote is yes.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We just passed 10:15 hours, at which time we'll have a public hearing, an ordinance establishing the annual operating budget for fiscal year 2007. This public hearing will be conducted by Mr. Jim Griffith, our legal counsel, and he will explain to you how he will preside over this public hearing. Mr. Griffith.
Thank you. Good morning. As Mr. Rogers says, the first matter to be considered through public hearing and followed, and following that by action would be an ordinance to establish the annual operating budget for fiscal year 2007. The first thing we'll do is have an explanation of the subject to be considered for all those who are present today, so everybody completely understands what is on the table and to be considered. Following the explanation, there will be an opportunity for members of council to ask questions. And following that, we will open it up to comment by members of the public. It's my understanding that there's a sign-up list somewhere. And if you want to speak and your name is not on the list, you could come forward and put your name on the list. We want to make sure that everybody who has a comment that they wish to make gets an opportunity to do that.
Bernice Edwards, you just walked in.
This is the general fund portion of the budget.
She's
sign
on
in.
The list.
And
Bernice
we'll,
is on.
You're on the list, never mind, okay.
And we will ask David Baker, the Director of Finance, to explain the issues to be considered on this hearing. Mr. Baker.
Yes, thank you. I believe Mr. Stickles will start. Mr. Stickles, Mrs. Susan Webb, our Director of Accounting, and myself will give a brief presentation and try to highlight the budget.
George, where are you going? George Parrish, Cork and Pace.
I'm getting out of the way.
The theme of this year's budget, and there are handouts. Does anyone need a handout for the presentation that we're going to be going over?
Okay. Hook him up, Eddie. Hook him up.
The theme of this is on. Can everyone hear me? The theme of this year's budget was the next generation for obvious reasons, because this will be my last budget. This is my 19th budget presentation. The theme of this year's budget was the next generations for obvious reasons. One, because we also have 15 key senior management members who are eligible to retire within the next 2 years. And I also believe that the council will be naming my replacement in this council meeting. If I read the agenda right, there's personnel appointments. And there are also 15 key management members of the council who are eligible for retirement. And we looked at normally... We look at focus on one item. Last year, we looked at the growth. The growth continues for the county. Last year, we looked at what was causing the growth of the county. We had a housing boom. We have affordable taxes. We have the location of the county being that we're located within an eight-hour drive of one-third of the population, the climate of the county, the affordability of taxes and all those types of things, the attractiveness to retirees to take advantage of state taxes, of discounts for pension costs and all, were one of the reasons. This year we focused on three things. Once again, the longevity of the staff, the retirement, also the need for building expansion. This building is 10 years old. No one thought in 1996 that we would be expanding, the need to build another building. In the budget, there is a recommendation of building a new 40,000 square foot building annex that would be built just to the west of here on West Pine Street. Would be a building that would house all of engineering once again under one roof, 40,000 square foot building, very similar to this building, but would not have a council chambers, would not have the administrative, but would have the rest of the building that you would see here, and would also house a much-needed record retention center. And then the other thing that we have to look at with the new budget is energy inflation. We've seen increases in energy costs that no one had imagined in the last few years. When we look at increases in our power plants, increases of 117% for purchasing powers for electric and all, and that's going to affect our utility rates, it's going to affect our street lighting districts, and we had to take all of that into consideration. When we looked at that, we're very pleased with the budget that we're presenting, that it does not have any increase in the property taxes, and that should not surprise anyone. Anyone who's familiar with the last 19 budgets that I presented, our budget is not set up on property taxes. Property taxes, as you will see, are only our fourth income source. We have set our budgets up for the last 19 years on user fees, and realty transfer tax is one of those user fees. We look each year at what we charge for services, and we increase those fees, and we continue to increase it, unlike the state of Delaware, who hasn't raised motor vehicle registration cost, driver's license cost, fishing licenses and such like that since the 60s, and it's impossible to continue to provide services based on 1965 incomes. But we continue to increase it. This budget has seen increases in the sheriff's department, in planning and zoning, in the cost of applying for a change of zone, board of adjustment. We have raised those increases, and we continue to look. We're currently looking right now at raising the cost of the clerk of the peace to make sure we can try to make that department a little bit more cost effective. And that's what we've based ours on, and we'll continue to do that, make it more cost effective. The total budget for FY07 will be a little bit over $140 million. This compares to $137 million last year. This is a little bit over 2%. This is almost a no-growth budget when you take into consideration what we have to pay for energy, what we're paying for the salary increases, and what we're paying for the cost of health benefits. It's almost a no-growth budget. $57.1 million for the general fund compared to $55.3 million last year. Capital improvements of $19.6 million compared to $14.3 million last year. Community development of 2.1. Water and sewer districts of $32 million compared to $27.6 million previous year. And capital projects being wastewater projects of $30 million. $140 million. We have a rainy day fund of $13.9 million. It's very important. $25.2 million. 25.2%, I'm sorry, rainy day fund. 25% is very important. We try to maintain a 25% safety net. The people who we borrow money from, the people that and Wall Street, the bond market, when we go to the bond market, look at that to make sure we have an adequate rainy day fund. We are pleased that we do not have any general fund debt that is based on property tax, and that is good if we have a downturn in the economy, that we are not looking for property tax, that we don't have to worry about having to raise property taxes to support that. If we have a downturn in the economy and all, we'll cut back on our capital budgets, we'll cut back on our grant categories, the money that we're giving to other people will have to be trimmed back a little bit, and we won't have to look at raising property taxes. We have a pay-as-we-grow type capital fund that we'll hear more about later on in the presentation. Where the money comes from, realty transfer tax makes up about 36% of it. 15.8 million dollars will be used in the general fund. $13.4 million will be in the capital budget. Fees and services make up our second income, being $13.7 million appropriated reserves. This is funding that is left over from previous years. This is from the FY05 budget that we talked about. And then, as I stated earlier, property taxes is our fourth income, $11.2 million. So of $140 million, only $11 million is coming from property tax. A lot of people say, I don't want you using my property taxes for that. Usually, we're not using your property taxes for a program you don't like. We're only using $11 million of our total budget. Where the money goes, the largest single department is paramedics, making up $12.3 million. Building acquisition, building expansion will be our second largest this year, being of the building expansion. The three-year program calls for $15 million for the new 40,000 square foot building. $7.5 million will be in FY07, with the balance coming in FY08, FY09, and then finance data processing, $8.5 million. That's where the money goes. With that, I'll turn it over to Ms. Webb.
I wanted to go over again personnel benefits that are in the budget. We're offering a 3.5% cost of living adjustment for the employees, a $500 across the board for all current full-time employees, 24% contribution to the pension fund. We have a sick and vacation payout, life insurance policy. There's no change in their medical insurance this year. There's no increases in the co-pays, and there's no increases in the employee part, employee portion deduction. We get 15 paid holidays. We have a long-term disability insurance program. The dental and vision program remains the same. And we also have a supplemental pension program if the employees are interested in contributing to. This is similar to a 401k in the private sector. The retiree benefits, they're getting a cost of living adjustment of 1.5%. Also, they have the vision and dental benefits. No change in their medical benefits either with their co-pays or their contributions. We continue to contribute to the pension plan. And retirees have increased over 11% over last year. One detail that we did want to go over in the general fund budget to hit was the public safety budget. The public safety budget put together is 36% of our general fund budget. This is $21 million and a 20% increase over last year. We heard earlier when we offered the budget presentation that we've had an 18% growth over the last 17 years, and that's affected this budget. We're offering $2.2 million for the fire service. We have 8 paramedic units now, that's over 100 street medics. The ambulance service is over a 40% increase due to the amount of paid attendance that we now require. We have in the budget a 1.4 state police subsidy, which is what we give to the state for the additional state troopers. Our emergency preparedness center is our 911 call center. And there we're also in the middle of construction of a new EOC building because we've grown out of our old one. And we have $500,000 in appropriated reserve for our revenue sharing for local law enforcement, which is the program where we offer local towns up to $25,000 each for capital expenditures to help them out. Second year of that program. This is our detail of appropriated reserve. Bob mentioned it was the third largest piece of the pie when he did where the money was coming from. This is the June 30th, 05 excess of revenues over expenditures, and we just wanted to show how this was going to be broken down between general fund and capital improvements. We broke it down. Some of the larger ones are the 1.4 for the open space program, airport project, an additional 1.5 for the pension fund contributions, $2 million for sewer grants. And as I mentioned earlier, for the public safety budget, this is where we'll pay for the additional state troopers, the $1.4 million, $2.5 million for property acquisition over in the Capitol. If things, land or property becomes available, we see that we have a need for, we have this money. doing some work at sewer, $171,000 and $18,000 for SCADA panels. David?
I'm getting a letter.
The first chart that I'm going to explain is the non-sewer and water capital improvement proposed budget, and it totals $19.7 million. It's funded by $13.4 million of realty transfer tax revenue, about 68% of this budget. Some of the projects include almost $5 million for county airport projects, extending a runway from 5,000 to 6,000 feet, and also opening a runway, beginning the construction for opening a runway that has not been open at the airport for a number of years. It also includes $750,000 for a water and fire system at the industrial park and airport, as Mrs. Webb mentioned, $2.5 million for property acquisition. Library expansion includes $400,000 for the expansion of the South Coastal Library, and also $650,000 for expansion of the Greenwood Library. And as Mr. Stickles mentioned, $7.5 million is included in this budget for the first phase of funding for the new administrative annex building, which we project to be located next to the Tunnel Razor building behind this building. As Mr. Stickles mentioned, we've been using a pay-as-you-grow, pay-as-you-go type funding for these capital non-sewer and water capital improvement projects. Instead of borrowing money and paying an extra interest cost, we've been able to set aside money for projects over a number of years and then complete the projects and save the taxpayer some interest cost. Chart, and all of these charts are in the handouts in the back, shows the five-year capital improvement plan totaling $246 million. About 70% of this, $175 million of this, is for sewer projects, and there is a breakdown of the expected funding. We work on this plan each year. It includes expansion at some of our wastewater facilities, Millville Sewer System, South Ocean View Sewer in Angola. There's a number of projects that the county is working on. Some are in the planning stage now, but within the next 5 years, we expect construction to at least begin. Also included is the administrative office annex building and the construction of the new EOC, which is occurring right now, then our new emergency operations center out near the airport. And finally, this is a highlight of the budget, and we try to put together each year, Mr. Stickles tries to put together each year a number of highlights, and this year we call them budget realities. First of all, electric and fuel costs have increased substantially. The budget includes a 78% increase for fuel cost. Our Delmarva Power cost were projected to increase 94%, and they're at a lower rate, but there's still well over $300,000 increase we expect as a result of bidding our Delmarva Power served electric facilities. Again, the five-year capital plan, $246 million. The first phase of the administrative annex building, a $15 million building, including a records retention center, which is sorely needed by the county, is included. No tax increase. The average county tax for a single-family home is $98.20. So that does not include school tax. School tax is in addition to that, but this is the portion that the county government receives, $98.20 out of the property tax bill for an average single-family home, and that's $39 for a manufactured home. The total budget is up 2.16% compared to last year As Mr. Stickles mentioned, we have a number of senior management people that are eligible to retire in this coming fiscal year. 40% of department heads will be eligible to retire in the coming fiscal year. We now have 103 paramedics, and the county's contribution to the state police of $1.4 million enables us to pay for 32 additional state police in Sussex County over and above the state allotment. And that's included, and that's four more. We have 28 this year, and that is increasing to 32. The Volunteer Firemen's Association, Volunteer Firefighters, $3.7 million is included for assistance for the volunteer firemen. And that the main increase there, as noted before, is for paid ambulance attendance, which is a problem throughout the county now. And we've budgeted $1.5 million to assist with paying for ambulance attendance. And then the last note there is this was the last budget presentation by Mr. Stickles, Mrs. Webb, and myself. We've worked together for a number of years, and thank you. Turn it back over to Mr. Griffin for the public hearing.
At this point, we will call on the persons who said they wanted to address council, beginning in the order in which they're listed. When you come to the speaker stand, would you please state your name and briefly your address, and then make your statement. First would be Bernice.
Yeah, where's the board? Mr. Rogers, we've been made aware of several groups that have asked for funding that we have not included. The budget committee has not included. I'll pass down to you copies of those requests. The budget committee is concerned. We've had a number of requests. The General Assembly has cut back a lot of funding this year in their grant and aid program. I know in one case, and I believe there's representatives from CHEER here today, correct? And John, would you stand up for a second, if you don't mind?
Sure.
When you met with the General Assembly, what did they tell you?
We are to be basically flat funded this year, and in transportation, this will be the fourth year that that's the truth, that that's the case. And despite 2 months of actively trying to get information to the legislature, dealing with our own Sussex County legislators, we are told that that's probably the way it's going to be, and don't expect any change. It will mean a drastic cut, which I have quantified, in the services to seniors in this county.
Where'd they tell you to seek your funding? Okay, we'll let it go.
At the county from time to time.
Right. The budget committee's concern, we wish we could fund everybody's request, but it passed down to you, and you can see a lot of these are above our capabilities. We're concerned because the General Assembly is still in session. There is no less than three bills up there that affect us. One bill would take $18 million from us to go to open space. There's another bill, $1.2 million, three that would help for Sunday DART transportation. There's another bill that is put off, $300,000 for animal control that is, we've at least put it off for next year. So we've been a little hesitant to take on funding that we have not taken before. Some of these agencies we've had funded before. And this is a list that we know of that's going to be requested, and we thought we'd put it down. But we want to give the agencies an opportunity to come in, and you may consider them. If you are considering them, we would at least ask that you give us the opportunity to tell you where in the budget it would come from. With that, Bernice Edwards, I believe, is first.
Well, with that said, what we do is hear all the testimony from the public and advise my colleagues that we should strongly wait till the General Assembly adjourns.
If that's what you wish to do.
We want to be optimistic, but we got to be cautious. So with that, Mr. Griffin, go ahead.
Okay, we'll now proceed after a short delay with the public comment. First is Bernice Edwards from First State Community Action.
And for those who do not know, Bernice started the the race at Dover? So let's hear it, Bernice, one time.
Oh, no. Lynn, you can help me out. Well, last...
name and address.
I started just before we... Because I want to say gentlemen start your opinions, but...
Name and agency, yes, with you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I would like to present this morning, and I have with me, my name is Bernice Edwards, and I'm Executive Director of First State Community Action Agency. And I have with me today is Michelle Johnson with one of our community development specialists, and Joe Bray, who's our community development specialist. I thought Bruce Wright would be here, but he wasn't.
He's here. Bruce is here.
Oh, is he? Okay. I come before the council this morning asking if Sussex County Council will, we are asking for three of our communities. We are a private, nonprofit, community-based organization. We work in the unincorporated community in Sussex County. And three of the communities that we are asking for $25,000 each per community to do some things in the community for this program year. Just want to let you know, First State Community Action, we have begun working with community leaders in these prospective communities with some concerns and planned solutions to help them out. First State, we work closely with the community residents and give them a true sense of accomplishments and capacity that would empower them to lead their communities through projects in the near future. Our first community that we are asking for is Lucas Development, which is outside of Milton. And this is a small community outside in corporate town. Milton has 27 homes, which 18 are substandard. The community of approximately 47 residents have been meeting over the course of the last few years and have held regular monthly meetings. And we are asking for the $25,000. And what we have proposed to do with the grant fund is to remove five mobile homes, a community dumpster, community roads, cover, crush, and run, which the road that goes into that community is very difficult for any ambulance or fire trucks that could get in. And so we are asking for that help. And we're also asking with those dollars to help us with a community center. And that's the rehabilitation of a donated mobile home, manufactured home. And what happens if we get the donated homes, we are able to put them in those prospective communities, make community centers out of those manufactured homes, which allow after-school homework programs and also community meetings where community residents are within those prospective communities. We work very closely with the Delaware State Police in those communities. We've seen some decrease in the drug activities. We have the presence with the state police, but we also have a really good working relationship with the Department of Correction, who help us a lot with those communities. Our other community is Cool Springs, which is off Route 9. We are asking for those grant funds to help repair homes, increase, including handicap ramps, and also with their community center. And we're going to ask for help. We have our local contractor who is offered to donate us some space in those in that community. Pinetown is another community. We did get a donated double-wide mobile home, manufactured home. State Police helped us very much to renovate that community center. And we are asking to help with some other community cleanups, and also help with, we want to start a GED class in that prospective community. We partner with the Cape and Open School District. We have after-school homework programs in those prospective communities. I think it's fine. Now, what I would like to just say briefly is, we came before County Council a couple years ago, and the council did award us two grants, one with Poly Branch. Michelle works with Poly Branch, and the other community was Greentop. We had some very good successes with the monies that you did give us and those prospective communities. In Greentop, we're able to demolish 6 abandoned homes. We did a crushing run paving for Crabapple North and South. We are moving and set up donated manufactured homes for fire victims. And we had some community prevention days and community cleanup. And what we are doing with those communities, we are trying to help those communities understand the responsibilities that they have in their communities. We go in, we help them with their strategic plan. They set that up, then they move on. Our goal is to work in those communities, help those communities get where they need to be, and move on to additional communities in Sussex County. The other community we had was Polly Branch. That was near Selbyville. We were able to do the crush and run of McCabe Court. We were able to do some housing rehabilitation and replacement. We did the installation and set up of 2 donated manufactured homes. And we demolished one and replaced that home. So these successes have provided energy and an enthusiasm to achieve their better living conditions in and around the community. Both the residents of Polly Branch and Greentop are more active in local events and issues. Community Civic Association are better attended, and community leaders are looking for more resources to continue their effort. Our goal at Community Action is to work with those communities to help them become self-sufficient. So my request to the council today, if you would give us the consideration to work with 3 more communities, and once we get those communities to the point that they can become viable, move on, then we can go to other communities throughout this county. Thank you for listening, and thank you for your consideration to First State Community Action Agency.
Thank you. Quick question, Bernice. Are these privately owned communities, or are they mobile home parks? Are they individually owned lots? What is the ownership situation? Could you quickly tell me?
They're individually owned lots.
Okay.
In Coos Springs, Lucas, and also in Pinetown.
Okay, so it's not like we're going into a park where somebody owns them.
No, sir.
And you're
Timmons
taking
a Evans situation.
No, sir.
It's not a Timmons Evans
right,
situation.
That's what, okay, that's what I make sure that.
Part of the strong communities.
I knew that on a couple of them. I wasn't 100% sure, and I think the public needs to understand that these are not.
No, they're not. They're not private.
We're not bailing out park owners.
No,
or something
sir.
Like that. Okay.
No, sir. You're helping individuals who are trying very, very hard. And one of the things that I can say, with our strategic planning, we are saying to communities, what you want your community to look like in 10 years? And that's the strategic plan that we have started with those communities. But they do need some help as we move forward. And that's why I'm here today, to ask your consideration. It also provide our kids with an opportunity to stay within their communities, but with the partnerships that we've developed in the school system, and having a place that they can go and do some of the things that other communities can do.
Any other questions?
So, gentlemen, start your engine. Thank you.
Next is Martha DeWitt, Marcia DeWitt with Rehoboth Art League.
Good morning. I'm Marcia DeWitt from 55 Fields End in Sussex County, and I'm delighted to be here. I've never had the opportunity to come before you before, but I'm representing the Rehoboth Art League, and I believe you gentlemen have received a letter from Gary Grunder, our president, who is currently out of the country, and I was happy for that so I could come today and talk to you a little bit about something that's very special for us. Obviously, you've got lots of challenges in terms of the next generation funding and so forth, but I would ask that you respectfully help us maintain the past generation. We're looking for some funding for the homestead, which is a 1743, originally the Peter Marsh home, which is now the homestead. And it's a building, although it was built in 1743, that it's still in use as an art studio, an art gallery, and also art storage. And we have been successful in patching it together for many years, but it's lived beyond the patching approach. And we will be doing a total restoration. The project will cost about $505,000. We have worked with the membership. We're asking a whole variety of people to participate. The majority of our members are Sussex County residents. The Longwood Foundation has generously given us money. The Delaware Division of Arts gives us money for our programs. And hopefully we'll get some state community redevelopment fund monies and other foundations as well. So it's sort of a full court press to try and do our restoration. We have already received $160,000, so we're on our way. But this, we really are facing very, very severe deterioration. So we have come before the council this morning to ask you to partner with the Art League on this homestead project for $50,000. We would very much appreciate that kind of contribution to respect the past and to maintain this lovely facility in Sussex County. And we would ask you to come visit if you haven't been there. We'd like you to come and inspect it and see. In fact, this Saturday we're having a fundraiser and garden party from 4 to 6 in the garden at the homestead. And we'd love to have you come as our guests if any of you are available. So we'd love to see you if we could. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ma'am, I just got worried. How much did you say the total project was?
The total project will be $505,000. And it was done, we have, it was.
Yeah, I saw there, yeah, I'm just writing the notes. Yeah.
We had a historical group come in and do an analysis. I think the biggest problem in the short run is the foundation is totally crumbling, so we have to replace that to make sure that the building will continue to stand.
Okay.
Oh, and I just want to, on behalf of the Rehoboth Art League, we have partnered with the Art League. The Art League have gone out with their outreach into these unincorporated communities, bringing kids at risk an opportunity to come into the Art League, work with the Art League. And we have been working, First State have been working with the Art League now for about 4 years, and they've come to our communities, covered their Crossroads, West Rehoboth, Burton Village, and this year hopefully they will be in the Milton area working with our kids, the high-risk kids. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Are you staying up here for all of these? Firemen are coming.
Mabel Granke, West Rehoboth Community Land Trust. And Roxy Sturgis, same organization.
In the interest of time, we wanted to come up together to help you. And I am Mabel Granke. I live in Rehoboth Beach, and I consider West Rehoboth a very necessary and needed neighbor that needs to survive. And what my hope is that in October, about October, we can invite all of you to a groundbreaking, so that we can begin our strived goal of providing low-income housing for those who want to stay in Rehoboth and in West Rehoboth, and for those who want to be able to come there and live so that they can have an affordable house. And our initial goal is for 4 units. We have an option on the land, and this is where we stand. Is we're at the crossroad of beginning to fulfill that option. And so we desperately, and I say that with all sincerity, we desperately need the county council's support at this point of $25,000. This is our request. And with that, we can now then go to a lender with the proof that we have been able, through individual contributions, through grants, and through the support of our Sussex County Council, to show that we are worthy and credible and able to go forward with this project. And we have the good fortune of having, as a construction manager, one of the developers in the county, and this is the Shell Brothers. And Preston Shell looked at me one day as we were meeting and said to me, Mabel, you're going to know what it feels like to be a developer. And I'm perfectly willing to take on that role. And so we do ask you to please consider this. And we will be coming back to you because it is low-income housing. and all of you have evinced this deep interest in being able to not only, as you so wisely did, try to provide for moderate income housing, but you also expressed the concern for low income. And this is where we are. This is where we want to be able to start the process. And our first goal is the 4 units, with our overall goal over our 5-year strategic plan to be 28 units. And with that, I'd like to have Roxy Sturgis take over, who is our director. Thank you.
Roxy Sturgis, director of Westford Hope Community Land Trust. I think Mabel said it all, but I just want to reiterate and press forward that this young organization of Westford Hope Community Land Trust have done a tremendous job in 1 year. They were incorporated in January 2005. I came on in April of 2005. We are a 501c3 nonprofit. We have our strategic plan for Westford Hope in place, and we have done a lot of fundraising. And with the friends of the Westford Hope Community Land Trust, we have accumulated close to $100,000 to help us with our land acquisition. And we do have a bank online for grants that we request for a 5-year period to buy all the land in Westford Hope that come up for sale. So we're hoping that we will hear good news within the next month that 5-year extended grant will be provided for us. But we do need this $25,000 to help us with the closing on a loan to purchase our first lot. It's a double lot that will enable us to build 4 units, our first of the 28 units, as Mabel has stated. And we're happy for that. And we're going to be able to sell those homes for about $150,000 each, 2-story. We've seen some plans that Mr. Shells is acting as our construction manager. And with his assistance, we're able to bring the home. We're going to be able to sell those homes at about $150,000. And so that's a great feat right there in this county for what the cost of housing are going for. And so we again come before you this year asking for your help in providing affordable housing, pushing it forward. Thank you very much.
And if it would be desirable, I have a copy of the letter that I submitted. Would that be desirable for the council? Oh, you have it. All right. Thank you very much.
Record. Thank you, Mabel.
Next, John Culp from CHEER.
Here's a handout.